The president of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, declared on Thursday a suspension to all agreements with Israel, including the security coordination between Israel and the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. Abbas said the Palestinian people will not accept the continuation of the Israeli occupation status quo, nor the so-called United States-backed deal of the century. Abbas also added that we will not surrender, we will not coexist with the occupation, and we will not deal with the deal of the century, the slap of the century, or the deal of shame, all names for one title. He also said that Palestine and Jerusalem are not for sale and bargain, and they're not real estate deals in a real estate company. The Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement, Hamas, has welcomed the decision by Mahmoud Abbas.
The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has hailed President Mahmoud Abbas's decision to halt all agreements with Israel. Hamas says the decision is a step on the right path. It says the decision needs practical measures that must be taken immediately. Abbas made the announcement on Thursday, 3 days after Israel demolished a number of Palestinian homes in the occupied West Bank.
The destruction of Palestinian homes can only be classified as ethnic cleansing and a crime against humanity that cannot be tolerated.
The Palestinian president said a committee will study the halting of all agreements with Israel as the regime negates its obligations under the accords. Abbas called the Monday demolitions a massacre. He said Israel bears, quote, full responsibility for this dangerous escalation against the innocent Palestinian people. He also blasted Israel for its apartheid policies against Palestinians.
Israel continues to kill and arrest Palestinian citizens, demolish their homes, confiscate their land, close the roads with hundreds of checkpoints, build walls undermining the contiguity of the Palestinian territories, and impose a racist separation policy, apartheid.
Abbas also criticized the United States for providing cover for Israeli violations of Palestinian rights, but he stressed that the Palestinians will not surrender or coexist with the Israeli occupation.
Joining us on this edition of the debate from the Answer Coalition, Richard Becker is joining us from San Francisco, and also chairman of the conservative Arab network Wafer Mustafa is joining us from the British capital, London. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Mr. Becker in San Francisco. Richard Becker's Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas says that a committee will be formed to end agreements with Israel, including the security coordination between the Israelis and the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. What kind of repercussions are we looking at here?
Well, I think the first question that has to be asked is it really going to be an implementation of pulling out of the agreements with Israel, and particularly the security agreements between the so-called Israeli Defense Forces and the military security forces of the Palestinian Authority that have been in existence now for really going back to the time of the Oslo Accord or shortly thereafter. And there has been the idea put forward in the past by President Mahmoud Abbas that there would be an end to agreements, particularly when Israel has carried out other such acts as demolitions or other forms of attack on the Palestinians, but they haven't been followed through with, and there's continued to be this cooperation. I think that it would be very beneficial to the Palestinian people to have that collaboration end. We have to see whether or not that's actually going to happen.
Wafer Mustafa in London. Some analysts say halting agreements with Israel brings into question the fate of the Palestinian Authority, maybe forcing it to change its shape and function. What could this mean for the existence of the PA itself?
I think it's very important. I have the feeling, and reading between the lines, the Arabic way of talking is a little bit different than English, as he did not abrogate nor announce annulment of agreements with Israel. I feel it is a political butchering from Mahmoud Abbas, and another sort of Levantine twist was the counter-posturing from Hamas by saying they want a unity government between the two, which undermined Abbas at the same time. I think his posturing is non-specific, and it's not clear what exactly he wants to say.
Mr. Becker, let's focus on some of the reactions to this announcement. Hamas released a statement supporting Abbas's decision to, I'm focusing on the word, suspend all these agreements with Israel as a step in the right direction. They've also called for an immediate announcement on the formation of a national unity government. How do you think the Israelis will respond to all this?
Well, of course, the main aim of the Israeli government and the occupation has been to sow division among the Palestinians. This has been going on for more than 50 years and even longer. And they see it as essential to try to end any efforts toward unification. As I said before, I think that ending the agreements with the State of Israel, and particularly the security cooperation, which the United States continues to fund, it's the only funding, I believe, that the U.S. government is still extending to the Palestinian Authority is for security. And Israel will do whatever it can to prevent unity or any way that it can intervene among the Palestinian organizations to try to prevent unity, they will undertake. And this has gone on for a long time. I mean, it really is, I think, a very key element in the struggle to overcome the occupation, and particularly at a time when the Israeli government, with the full backing and support, and we could go even further than full backing and support of the Trump administration, is pushing forward with plans to confiscate more and more and more Palestinian land.
Mr. Mostafa, Mahmoud Abbas said that this announcement comes as Israeli authorities already ignore all the signed agreements with the PA, but will the suspension of the security agreements, highlighting that point, the security agreements between the PA and the Israelis, be a cause for concern for Tel Aviv?
I doubt it. I think, as we know, Jerusalem's status have changed, particularly after the United States recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And Mahmoud Abbas is really, I would say, it's typical Middle Eastern bluff in politics. He's not clear what he wants. He talked about something called the deal of the century without elaborating what exactly it means, apart from what we know from the press. And does he know anything about it? Is something called deal of the century or just an imagination of the Egyptian and Palestinian governments? I think there's a lot of questions, and I think there is a different culture, political culture, between Gaza and West Bank. And I can't see how they can form a unity government overnight without having a lot of problems. As my colleague said, there's a lot of division, a lot of separations, and Israel will make sure they'll never come together.
Richard Becker, Abbas's declaration came in the wake of Israel's demolition of several Palestinian homes in Jerusalem al-Quds. He called it an act of ethnic cleansing and a crime against humanity. After that, the EU and the UN slammed the move, but on Thursday, the United States blocked a Security Council resolution, a proposal that is seeking condemnation of the demolitions. Is it this kind of support that allows the Israelis to totally flaunt international law?
Yes, of course. Of course it is. It's only because of the umbrella support extended from the United States to Israel, treating it like the 51st state, or even at a higher ranking than 51st state, maybe the first state, that makes it possible for the Israeli government to continue to flaunt even the terms of the Oslo Accord. And for anyone who's ever read the Oslo Accord, and I read it, I remember reading it back when they came out, you know, it's something that is a highly colonial document. It stipulates everything that the Palestinians can and cannot do as far as trade and et cetera, et cetera. And you know, there's no such restrictions on the Israelis. And so that's what that's been the basis for this expectation or hope on the Palestinian side, that from way back then, that this would inevitably lead to the establishment of a viable Palestinian state. The Israelis have never had any intention that should be the outcome of Oslo or any other agreements, Camp David, or, you know, it goes all the way back to 1967 and has been now well documented by the Israeli historian Ilan Pappe, that in the weeks after the conquest of the West Bank and Gaza, there were the discussions about how to annex the land and not the people, not, in other words, not to make the Palestinian citizens, but be able to take over their land. Palestinians wish to be citizens of Israel, don't get me wrong about that. But this is the reality that the current situation, that we see as the foundation and the background of the current situation.
Mr. Mustafa Abbas added that the Trump administration, which in fact made sweeping cuts to Palestinian aid last year, is providing cover for Israeli violations against the Palestinian people. Having in mind the embassy relocation to Jerusalem al-Quds, the recognition of the annexation of the Golan Heights by the Israelis, among other issues, is the White House, the Trump White House, just giving the Israelis a green light at every turn?
It is no doubt that the Trump White House is very close to Israel, very close to Netanyahu, and that is quite clear from the stand about Jerusalem and the stand about the Druze land, the Golan Heights. I think Palestinian leadership need a new blood, new young people, because this is old, rotten leadership which controlling the West Bank, controlling Gaza. You need a new blood, new ideas, new visions to create peace. And Israel as well need to come closer, and Egypt and all the Middle East need to come together to form peace rather than fighting piece by piece everywhere.
Richard Becker, let's talk about the so-called deal of the century. Mahmoud Abbas said the Palestinian people will not accept the continuation of the Israeli occupation status quo, nor will they deal with quote, deal of the century, or the slap of the century, or the deal of the shame, all names for one title. He made it even clearer than before that this proposal has no validity for the Palestinians.
Well, I think that the deal of the century, so-called, and led by Jared Kushner, who is a real estate developer like the president he serves, another real estate developer, and real estate lawyers there, David Friedman and Jason Greenblatt, what their idea is that they can pay off part of the Palestinian population, particularly in the West Bank, to accept the continuation of the extension of settlements. There are now 700,000 or 800,000 Israeli settlers living in the West Bank. That by paying off some people and some prominent individuals and businesses can get cut in on the contracts and all of that, that the Palestinians will forego their national rights, that the Palestinians will give up on the national struggle. That's been the ambition not only of the State of Israel, but also of the United States, which sees the Palestinian struggle and the Palestinian liberation movement, even in its somewhat weakened state, as a danger to U.S. interests, because it has the sympathy of people throughout the Arab world, really. Not the leaders throughout the Arab world, but the people throughout the Arab world. And what the deal of the century really intends is the liquidation of Palestine and the Palestinian liberation movement altogether, to extinguish it, to consign it to the dustbin of history. That's what they're trying to do. I don't think that they're going to be able to do it. I think that the situation is one where the Palestinians have resisted on a grassroots level and at other levels, but they've resisted the liquidation, the project, they've resisted the project to end Palestine, as one author put it.
Wafa Mustafa, Mahmoud Abbas emphasized that Palestine and Jerusalem al-Quds are not for sale or bargain, and they are not real estate deals in a real estate company. He was alluding to the financial aspect of the U.S. proposal, which in many views is intended to buy out the Palestinians. Our guest, Mr. Becker, believes that the United States and the Israelis will not be successful in that regard. Do you see it in that as well?
Yes, I could see it. I think the Americans look at Palestinians as a part of Greater Syria as Levantine merchants, and they look at it as sale, which is completely different than political settlement. The other thing that the son-in-law of the President of the United States, he's not a politician, he is an advisor. And every United States president come, he always come with some form of scheme for the Middle East. And I think the only scheme for Middle East is general settlement, is creating atmosphere for democracy and rule of law, because you'll not be able to solve the Palestinian question without resolving other issues like Syria, like democracy in Jordan, like Egypt, Algeria. They're all one piece, otherwise you're just going to have a lot of fighting. And who going to implement it? Is Abbas, at 84 years old, will be able to implement something like that? And that's why I think you need a new leadership, younger people, to be able to absorb and continue and build up on some form of peace process.
Well, staying with the financial aspect of this deal of the century, Mr. Becker, which you were alluding to earlier, many ways the Palestinians have stated that there is no financial solution to the Palestinian question.
Yeah, and you can see that really is the concept of the so-called deal of the century, and of Kushner, and well, I think it's called peace to prosperity, or anyways, the financial angle of this so-called deal is what is most prominent. And what is very interesting is that the U.S. doesn't want to, Kushner's not proposing that the U.S. extend tens of billions of dollars for economic projects to better the lives of Palestinians. No, he's saying that the monarchies should do it. The monarchies should come up with the money. The Saudis and UAE and Qatar and Bahrain and Kuwait, that they should contribute the money. So it's a cheap deal from the U.S. point of view, if it were to work. But I think that their lack of understanding of the Middle East is extreme. You know, the idea is that they can just throw some money around, or get somebody to throw some money around, and then the Palestinian issue will go away. And when the Palestinian issue goes away, then they'll be able to subjugate the whole rest of the region as well. That's really the plan, or that's what the ambition is. I think it's an ambition that's unfulfillable.
Mr. Mustafa, you were shaking your head there. Would you like to add anything to that?
I agree, it's totally. It's throwing money at a problem, not going to resolve it at all. There is billions and billions being thrown in the region, in aid, etc., in military, but I doubt if it's going to resolve any problem, because Gaza is closer to Egypt, West Bank is more independent, closer to Syria maybe, and the Syrian situation as it is disintegrating. So I think it need Middle East need a complete reshaping, complete understanding and peace. Even if it change boundary, let it be. But the situation as it is, I don't see the West Bank is different than Sinai or Syria or Algeria. I think we need a drive for democracy and rule of law and institutions in the Middle East to settle. I mean, the Indian-Pakistani dispute 1947 settled a long time ago, and the states settled, and India is advancing so fast and becoming third or fourth country in the world. So the Arab world haven't got a single person who won Nobel Prize in science so far. So I think we are really, the dictators love to survive on the Palestinian issue, and they never done anything about it in reality. I think the United States, Europe, should work in establishing a rule of law, democracy, and accountability in the Middle East to sort any political solution.
Richard Becker, it seems that the Persian Gulf Arab states are all on board with this so-called deal of the century. For example, Saudi Arabia has reportedly offered the Palestinian Authority $10 billion to accept this deal. How are these Arab governments planning on benefiting from this proposal?
Well, I think that the monarchies, although I don't think any of them are in imminent danger of collapse or overthrow, they think about that all the time. They have to think about it because the long era of monarchical governments, of absolute monarchy dictatorships, is really past. They're the remnants of that past. And they know Bahrain had to call in Saudi Arabia to prevent the overthrow of the monarchy there a few years ago. And they want to be allied with the U.S. They're willing to, as Trump so undiplomatically put it, when the Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince, was at the White House, they share their wealth with us, Trump said. And they do. And in return, the U.S. guarantees against revolution in Saudi Arabia, for instance. They said that, Reagan said that a long time ago. Mm-hmm. That's our policy, no revolution in Saudi Arabia. So in other words, those monarchy regimes are maintained. They give military bases, they share the wealth, and so forth, and they want an end to any popular movement in the region, and first and foremost, the Palestinian movement.
And one last question for you, Mr. Mostafa. Are the Persian Gulf Arab states, the allies of the United States, effectively turning a blind eye to the killing and suffering of their Arab brethren?
Well, they are turning a blind eye, I'm afraid. You've seen what's happening. Egyptians being deported to Egypt unnecessarily from the Gulf, totally unnecessary. I think the Arab world is the last bastion of dictatorship and oppression. All the world is opening up to democracy and rule of law and prosperity. The Arab world is dependent on one commodity, which is oil. And I think they got to work, not of the Arab world, all the Middle East, Turkey, Iran, all the Gulf, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Tunisia, they all got to work together in some form of a commonwealth, a fair commonwealth, not a domain equality. But the way they're doing, they're extremely divided, undermining each other all the time. Okay. And that's why I don't think any solution will, in one piece, will never work as it hasn't done for the last 70 years.
All right, thanks a lot. That brings us to the end of this program. Allow me to thank my guest, Richard Becker from the Answer Coalition, joining us from San Francisco. Also, thanks to Chairman of Conservative Arab Network, Wafa Mustafa, joining us from London. And also, special thanks to you, our viewers, for staying with us on this edition of The Debate. It's good night for now.